With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Idol episode 4 is over, but we are just getting started now. Post show recap. My name is Grace, but I am not alone. I'm with Ariel. Ariel, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm trying to stay sane in all this chaos at the house.
Stars belong to the world, Ariel. They don't belong to you.
Can't
stop
hoarding
them.
Sure, I'm learning a lot from this show. Or the show is trying to teach me things, and I don't care to learn a lot of them, I think.
The penultimate episode of The Idol, Ariel, apparently. At least
that's
season one.
News. Okay, so yeah. You and I had this discussion off pod, and it was like, did we make it up that it was 6 originally? And then I went and there were like credible articles, old ones now at this point, obviously out of date ones, that had said 6. So it seems like at some point they changed their mind. What that means, we can only speculate.
I have a big theory about this episode of where we might be going to the finale. I first saw this, I think, on IndieWire, that I think has a lot of potential weight to it, and I think potentially will make people really hate the show. And also, I think, not that people aren't already hating on the show, but I think maybe tracks as to why they either removed an episode, took the content from whatever and smushed it together into one episode,
right,
whatever the case may be. So let's chat through this episode. As I said, Stars Belong to the World is the name of the episode. And we get one of my favorite characters, I think my favorite character on the show, maybe Divine Joy Randolph as Destiny, basically going undercover into the house. Is like the theme of this episode. As she watches and calls Haim and is like, hey, so it's weird, but over the course of the week, either sees that there's potential for all of these like musical cultists that Tedros has actually found, that maybe actually they could be good artists if they actually weren't under the sway and influence of Tedros, and maybe it's just worth having Tedros around in the house, or is lying to Haim that like there's actually some stuff going on here. But we and then over the course of the episode, we're going to find out that Diana we learned this already, that she's going to get she's being like set up to be a superstar in lieu of Jocelyn. She's going to get world-class singer, and she reveals to Jocelyn that Tedros knew that she like convinced Diana to bring Jocelyn to the club, which then leads Jocelyn to call over ex-boyfriend, sleep with him in the bedroom while Tedros cries outside of the bath, the room to Prince. And then
that's all, what happens when doves cry.
That's right. And so it all comes full circle. Earlier in the episode, Tedros overhears Xander, played by Troye Sivan, singing. And then ultimately it's revealed that Jocelyn's mother outed Xander and then also made him sign a contract that he would never become a singer. And they then torture him. Very interestingly, Xander is calling Jocelyn crazy and like ruined his life, that she's worse than her mother, while he has a dog collar, like zapping collar on him. And then eventually,
yeah. In fairness to him, you know, he's under extreme duress. So whether or not he believes those things that he's saying is debatable.
I will get to the theory, Ariel. They zap him so much, he eventually says, okay, just kidding. I was lying the whole time. And seemingly by the end of the episode, he is fully under Tedros' sway as he takes a picture of Rob, Jocelyn's ex, with a girl like in a bikini, like sitting on top, to probably try to blackmail Rob and or, you know, convince Jocelyn.
Yeah, make gaslight. Jocelyn jealous, yeah. Maybe. But like, yeah. The stakes seem very low in that situation, or at least as it's being presented to us so far in your two, like, possibilities of what that picture is for.
Yeah,
it's kind of like, who cares?
Yeah, so I think that for me, what really allured me in the premiere, even the premiere episode, even without, there were things that felt troubling. I loved the world that they had kind of built, where like you have all of these people. Like, we have not seen Dan Levy on the show since episode one. I thought we were gonna get Harry Neff, and then Harry Neff is only in the episode via voice over the camera off on Zoom.
Classic respectable Zoom.
Choice. Classic good Zoom. Choice. Yeah. Can't hate it, but yeah, I think if you're in the TV show, so this world, and then it has been so self-contained to the house, and how all of this stuff is happening, I feel like, without real impact of how it's sort of like, we get allusions to how it's affecting the outside world with, we get the guy Finkelstein gets brought up again this episode, mm-hmm. that like, he, you know, the tour, and seemingly Leah is still like, hey, this is all wild and whatever, is like the voice of reason, but gets drowned out. I just feel I can really feel that they reshot a lot of this, Ariel, because it feels pretty tiny, especially compared to the first episode when they're like driving in the car, they can go to the club, and we've just like been at the house for, they're like, we have like 5 days to shoot 5 episodes and we're in this house. Yeah
I couldn't help but turn off that piece of my brain that, as we already said, there was like an episode that seemingly has gone away, and at least in like the total episode order number rather, and so my brain was constantly like, okay, I was looking for the seams, right? But like, is this perhaps like supposed to happen later on, or is there a little bit of like yada yadaing happening, like in the way that Divine's character is like, okay, now I've been here a week. I'm like, a week, really? That was like very fast. I don't disagree with your theory. I think, you know, with the exception of in the beginning of the episode, we get some stuff outside, it does feel very contained, and it just feels like a lot of the, not that it was very impressive in the earlier episodes, but it feels like a lot of the character motivations are even less explainable. Like, for instance, the Troye Sivan's character, I'm blanking on his name now,
Xander,
just it seemed to me like that transformation, and I know it's been like a week already, you know, there was like, that was kind of happening in tandem with Divine's like, Destiny, the character, Destiny's like spy craft thing, which I agree with. It was like my favorite part of the whole thing.
Her scenes with I don't know the actor's name.
Chloe. Yeah. They were great. Yeah. I can't wait to talk about those scenes. But the Xander specifically, I was like, this just seems like a big leap to go from, I don't trust, or I'm not sure, to then like being outed, you know, at the dinner before this, of like, you know, having known about the abuse of, you know, from Jocelyn's mother, to now at the end, towards the end of this episode, and
and in the middle of it, just kind of being, I can understand maybe being afraid of Chedros's people, but like falling in line, like specifically I'm thinking of the image where like Chedros is like, all right, everybody wake up. All right, stand in line. And then I'm like, why is Xander there? Like, what? This kind of makes no sense to me, just on like a character motivation level of like why he would have fallen under the spell of Tedros. I just, and still I'm having, you know, I'm obviously not the only one, but I'm having trouble believing that these people would be compelled enough by a person like Tedros, just based on the performance, unfortunately. But it's, yeah, I did feel, also say that I did feel, I was looking for those seams, and I identified like a couple of different hypotheticals in my mind, at least, as to like maybe this was not quite rushed, but consolidated or even full out reshot, like you're saying.
So the twist that IndieWire thinks is coming next week is that Jocelyn has been, is actually the monster the whole time. This is not a story of a woman who
is it like in a Fight Club situation where Tedros isn't even real and she's like imagining.
No, sorry, I think that it's more that she puts people in a position to be able to make herself seem like the victim is potentially the theory. So that her mom actually maybe wasn't abusive. That bringing in Tedros is basically, this has been a plan by her all along. And I think the biggest piece of evidence for that is probably Xander's confession when he's talking about how psychotic Jocelyn is. That is this sort of, and you know, if you look back at that scene, that dinner scene where he, it's revealed that he like knew everything was happening but doesn't say anything, is that basically he's like, yeah, it's say anything because like it's not like it's you, Jocelyn, you're the monster. I think that that is an awful ending, and I think that there's enough to seed in here that I definitely think that's what we could get next week.
You know, I agree with you in the first thing you said of like, I think that wouldn't feel great. And I think in some ways the show, you know, certainly hasn't really given us enough to sell that and have it be compelling and have it be believable, even in this universe that they're creating, that I have trouble believing a lot of the Tedros stuff. But I also think that the show hasn't really, while on the one hand, I would find that fascinating to watch the show even try to pull that off, like in its final episode, right? Because now we're talking finale now next week. Mm-hmm. While that would be like the audacity of that would be impressive to me, I really don't, how can I say this? What I have seen so far doesn't make me think that the show is even capable of trying that. And I'm happy to be wrong, but that's how I feel about that.
I do feel like he, I don't know. I feel like his, specifically the second season of Euphoria, I feel like, I don't know. It feels like he would, Sam Levinson would try, but, cause yeah. I do think
as Anakin
that,
Skywalker once said, you will try.
Yeah. There's, I mean, the other thing that's in here is, when Destiny and Haim are talking about Tedros, so that we get the reveal that he has a different name, Mauricio Costello Jackson. In 2012, he was arrested and accused of kidnapping his ex-girlfriend, which Jocelyn will relay to Destiny as like, no, like it was self-defense. And then all of these people that were like, were, you know, similar to what's happening here, they all like, you know, used him and sold him out rather than being like saying that like he was helping their music career. They like said he was like their pimp, basically. So yeah, that's a thing that happens in this episode. But they do talk about, they're like, maybe we should just kill him. Like Haim and Destiny, and they're like,
this is incredible.
Nah, maybe not. But I also did think
he's like, come on, why not?
I know the only thing that's was holding me back from like a murder death thing ending was that like, what if they think the show is like them personally, like The Weeknd and Sam Levinson are like, we're gonna do another season of this show, right? And HBO is like secretly being like, no, we're absolutely not doing another season of this show. But like, if they think it's good, are they going to end it with it? Like, maybe they don't want this to be like a limited series, you know? Mm. So
yeah, the other thing that was annoying me, again, this is from like a because at all times, whether I'm enjoying a thing or not, I'm like, okay, I'm trying to pay attention to the quote unquote rules of the universe of the show as we have been told, and like some of the character motivations and stuff like that, and like trying to see what fits and what doesn't make sense. It feels like this thing with Haim and Destiny came an entire episode too late, because it was two episodes ago where they were like, okay, it seems like we have a problem. And then they kind of weren't in the last episode that much in episode three. And then in this episode, I was like, okay, this is operation, like take them down. It's like they are entirely too good at their jobs to at least not have acted on this sooner. Like, it's one thing I can understand, like they let it they kind of didn't know what was happening, and that's one thing, but for them to only be doing this now feels like it's undercutting the authority almost that Destiny and Haim have, and like the power that they have. They're clearly very good at their jobs and clearly care about Jocelyn. You could make the argument, of course, as always, that like it's about the money for them, but at the end of the day, they do seem to really care about her. And I was kind of just like, it felt like, okay, finally this is happening. It feels like it's happening too late, and I'm kind of annoyed, but also I'm having so much fun watching her be the spy that it's ultimately fine. But again, in this, like thinking about like what should happen where, and did they consolidate stuff, it was like, where was this before?
I don't know if I buy that they care about Jocelyn that much. I feel like this is like Sam Levinson trying to be like really cynical also about how celebrities are treated. But like so coming out of this, when the Rolling Stone interview came out, the behind the scenes stuff about how much of a nightmare it was, there was this wave of like rebuttals from some of the people involved in the show, including The Weeknd, but one of them was Lily Rose Depp, who talked about, she was like full frontedly like in support of Sam Levinson. She's like, I've never had someone more supportive of me on set. And he really, you know, and I think that there was some stuff out of Euphoria too, where a lot of them get to like improvise their lines, and there's some talk about like, you know, what Sam Levinson was able to do. Obviously there's like the Barbie Ferreira story, right? Where, you know, seemingly there was a story planned for her character in season two of Euphoria that seemingly went nowhere and got kind of cut. And she was made out to be kind of like this like awful sort of person, the way she treats her boyfriend in the season two. But I do think Sam Levinson, I think this is like one of the things that I feel like he does feel he's sort of a defender of these young women, in that like these are the stories he's choosing to tell so far on television, at least include Euphoria and then The Idol. He did a movie.
Sam Levinson, defender of women.
Well, I mean, I kind of feel like that's how he views himself. Like, honestly,
no, for sure. I understand that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's not what you believe.
So I feel like, I think Destiny is an amazing character, but I also think that there are levels to which all the people who are sort of like in her life, who are looking after, like who are like helping manage her career, I think that there are varying levels of how much they care about Jocelyn. But I do feel like he's basically trying to say, like, I don't think any of them actually care is not maybe the right word, but like,
because it's not, to your point about the different levels, it's not that simple.
Also, I think to the point that you're making of like, they're so competent, they're so good at their, I feel like if they were the show doesn't, like the show can't exist if they're actually really good at, if they actually want to protect Jocelyn, right? Like the cult can't actually infiltrate. So it's this mismatch for me of like, Destiny is letting all this stuff happen. Like, Destiny's still letting all this stuff, and Haim's letting all this stuff happen. So like, can you actually say you do care about Jocelyn? If you like, obviously Haim's like paying her mortgage or whatever, you know, there's a degree at which like he is financially supporting her, but I also
even
feel
that,
like,
you could say, you know, he's doing it because he's hoping for a return on it, you know,
like, and that's what the undercover
the money
at the end of the undercover thing, it's like, well, how are the songs? And it's like, they're actually like pretty good, you know, and it's like, okay, all right, cool, great.
Yeah,
like I think they're willing to let all this stuff happen, especially when they find out about the stuff that he's been like accused of, because there's a potential that she will make music and make them money.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I feel like it's a really, like he is, I feel like Sam Levinson is trying to like, as much as this is like, there's a cult thing going on. He is also, it feels like condemning a bit of like the music industry, I think.
But, no, for sure. And I think,
yeah. Which, yeah.
I think it makes sense that that's what he would be doing. He seems to have a lot of opinions about, you know, whether it's, you know, back to episode one, the intimacy coordinator thing, or, you know, just the industry in general. I think for sure, I would agree with that of like, I'm here to, you know, make some sweeping generalizations or indictments of the way things work. The Destiny and Haim thing is fascinating to me in so many different ways. And I don't disagree with you, even though I personally feel, and I think it's again, that thing of like, when you like a character so much, you want to believe either their best or you want to believe whatever their emotional journey and just characterization is leading you. And I perhaps am guilty of that, like believing that they actually care about her. But I think, like you said, it isn't that simple, really, right? And I think the scene with Destiny and Chloe that we talked about briefly is a really good example and kind of like a lens in some ways to view Destiny's relationship with Jocelyn, because clearly Destiny is in that scene just looking for information, right? Her and Haim talk about like, you know, she's just going to be a fly on the wall, like don't get involved, just get information, just like organically infiltrate this world and see what you can find out. And she does an amazing job of not really fighting anything, and just, you know, Chloe literally yells at her from down the hall and she's like, oh, who are you? And then she gets her to sing for her. She gets her to admit that she's 17, or she starts to say she's 17, but Destiny's no dummy. She totally obviously picked up on that. And it seems like that may come into play perhaps at how they defeat him. I don't know. But the tenderness with which Destiny treats Chloe, I think is real. And I think it's almost like she couldn't be good at this infiltrating thing and at connecting with people if on some level she didn't mean the thing she was saying. Like just on a general human level, she probably does really feel bad for this girl. Like she's treating her as an enemy for sure, and she's just trying to get information from her. But she's hearing the story and she's like, oh my God, like I totally see how someone like you, who was a drug addict and who was living on the streets, would get involved in all this stuff. And to the greater point of like Destiny and Jocelyn, like I think it's supposed to show in part that like Destiny can exist in both of those headspaces, right? Like I have genuine empathy and care for like this other human being, but it can only go so far as like furthering my cause, in this case her, you know, her and Haim, their plan. And I will say also very quickly, Destiny and Haim show, like I will
no watch. No, Destiny and Rachel Sano show. That's what I want.
Get her involved. I think the Destiny and Heim dynamic is incredible because clearly what interests me is like they clearly have been through so much together and trust each other implicitly.
They're co-managers of Jocelyn's career.
Yeah. And you know, who I want to hear all the crazy stories of things they've done, people they've killed already, right? Because the way Destiny's like, we should just kill him. Mm-hmm. I say bring Rachel Sinnoh's character. You can easily fold her into the show for sure because I love her, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, hot take. Renew the idol, but don't have idol, no weekend colon. Or the managers. The idol, colon, the managers. Yeah.
That's the universe I want to see.
I mean, now they're in the HBO universe. Do we want that trio to show up at the White Lotus?
Well, I would say let's add, what's her name? Maddie, who already made an appearance apparently in that first episode, right? At the club. So
yeah. It's again, all a shared universe.
Easily fold her into the universe as well.
Yeah.
Maybe she's the one trying to have a music career and they're all, you know, working with her.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think for me, and I feel like we're like, you know, saying this every week, but I think the biggest piece is that like, you know, the performance by The Weeknd is, I think, the thing I'm like struggling with the most because he's supposed to be this alluring guy. Like, I think the standard storyline where by the end of it, he's so in that he's willing to like figure out how to gaslight like Jocelyn and blackmail this guy, Rob. Also, but like Rob came out of nowhere. It was like, have we met Rob before, right? It's just like Rob, an ex.
Might have been
he's
like
an
a
actor.
Mention of him as her ex, but definitely haven't really had much from him or never saw him before.
And I think that like one of the things that I think is, you know, I am fascinated by like cults and how you can go so far as to be involved, like somebody who is, you know, a victim of being lured into a cult can go so long with, and then all of these awful things are happening and how that sort of like indoctrination works. I feel like, I mean, the story that's being told, right, is that Tedros tells all these people and the episode title is said by the guy that like Rachel Snow's like Leah's character is like with stars belong to the world. They don't belong to you. So all this like trauma and stuff that happens to them, you know, is in service of art. And in this case, music. And you can see how like it is interesting to me to sort of find out that like, we knew that Chloe played the piano. We knew that like, that other guy sang, but the fact that they're all sort of being like lured in with this idea and they're like all making music. They're like here at this, like, you know, the thing. Mm-hmm. But I feel like some of the stuff of like when Tedros is like, I have the perfect idea of how to get her to hit the right note for the song. And then he's just like, you know, making her climax. Well, everybody watches.
Well,
I'm like,
everybody watches. And importantly, I thought this was, I don't even know how to say this, but it was almost like to the show's very, very small credit that like the other, like the producer, Mike, I can't remember his name now, Mike Patton,
that's Mike Dean, Mike Patton, who is Mike Dean. He's playing himself, which is wild that he agrees to do this.
Yeah, because he comes out of his car like with the bong, doing bong rips, and either smoking a cigarette or a joint separately from that. And him in this scene that you're talking about where Tetris is like, I know how to do this. And he's going to like blindfold her. And she's like, double knotted. And I'm like, please, enough with this. Yeah. They're laughing. And it's like, it feels like when you're watching the scene with the two of them laughing, it's like they're the outsiders and they're like the audience proxy. But I certainly don't think the show was self-aware enough to be like, let's put these people in who are laughing because that's what the audience reaction is going to be. But it's like at least somebody in the room was like having a reaction that seems normal because this is so ridiculous and also clearly, I mean, beyond inappropriate and just kind of not okay. Like the way that Leia's character is like very casually and jokingly says, like we're all sitting there watching her like get assaulted.
Yeah.
Again, the show being like very, very casual with something that is very problematic. It felt like, oh wow, okay, so I guess they do know how ridiculous it is, but they're still doing it. It's confounding to me as usual.
Well, yeah, there's a in last week's episode they hook up in a in a, when they're shopping in the changing rooms. Mm-hmm. And then Tedros ends up like finishing on the wall. And it's just like, I get, this is like assault, like, a, you know, that like somebody has to clean that up. Like they didn't like they didn't clean your, you know, it's like, I don't know. The fact that like, you know, whatever, you can argue that Jocelyn is consenting to what's happening. And if my twist, if the twist that IndieWire suggests is correct, then perhaps she's more than consenting and making, the weekend consent, Tedros consent. Everybody else who is forced to watch it is being subject to assault, basically.
Yeah,
you know.
No, it's
so.
There's yeah, there's that distinction.
Yeah,
it's wild. It's I almost don't know now what would be better if there was no twist at all, or if, or I guess what would be worse if there's like no twist at all, or if it was this twist that would, at least as presented to me in my head right now, would absolutely not work.
So I mean, the only reason like the twist for me that the, like the, I mean, other than like, that's not what the show is, but like, for me, there is a little bit of like, that is a bad. So what is Sam Levinson and The Weeknd, who like co-created this, what are they trying to tell us, basically? Mm-hmm. is the thing I keep going back to about this show. Right. And I feel like, my feeling at the moment is that there's a little bit of like the music industry so doesn't have someone's best interest and people's best interest in mind, mm-hmm. that they can end up. And I think, like, you know, this is the lens that they're using, but I feel like, you know, it applies to like young movie stars and basically young women celebrities. Mm-hmm. If we don't actually take care of them, like that's how you can like fall into this, like, you know, an even worse thing of abuse. Like, I don't think the show is trying to like come out of this, be like, Tedros is awesome, right? Like, this cult is cool. Like, they're not. Yeah. Like, clearly this idea that like you have to go through trauma to achieve good art is something that I feel like they have to think is not true. They can't think that that's true, right? Or else,
yeah, I mean, I think for sure the intensity of it, like, there is the idea of like working through your trauma, right? Whether that be therapy, whether that be whatever whatever kind of psychological aid you want to help you do that is obviously valid. Mm-hmm. But the idea that you would be like consistently being re-traumatized by this person who's taking advantage of you is bad, and is like this extreme that you can see. Unfortunately, I think you can see people in the real world being like, yeah, that's right. That feels right. That's how art is made, which I definitely don't agree with. It's hard. I guess ultimately my answer to your question is, it's kind of hard to say at times what the show is quote unquote trying to say versus what it's saying accidentally versus what it's not saying at all and should be saying.
Yeah. Cause I feel like that episode one, that moment where there's like the sensitivity coordinator does feel like that's something like the system that has been established does not work for young women, right? Like it's not actually listening to their needs and what they want and how they're respected. And then I feel like this whole thing where she's fallen into this cult, Tedra's cult, is basically like, because like the fact that her music, her managers are like basically willing to let it happen. Mm-hmm. And there's enough, like, I don't know, I guess like mistrust in like World Class Sinner. I mean, it just seems like a silly song, but it's sort of one of the big premises of the show is that like she, and where her and Tedros agree, is like, that's not her music, right? That she's just trying to be like put into a box and a label and be what everybody thinks she should be. And when you just, you know, there's a world where like, even when they listen to it and they're like, and Nikki's like, okay, so I'll just say it, like, no, absolutely not. And you can tell that sort of everybody else around the table wants to be like, yeah, no, also no, like, we're not going to do that, but doesn't want to, like, it's like, you know, they should be being like, that's not great, but also, yeah, let's like figure out how to like make the art that you want to make, you know?
Yeah, compromise in some way.
But because everything is like riding on her, there's like money to be made from Jocelyn. Mm. she ends up like falling into this thing that is even worse because the system is not set up, which is just very interesting as a theme. If that's like what we, I mean, if the twist that I have posited IndieWire thinks is happening next week, then that changes that completely. Cause then I don't think like that. I don't know how that you square those two things if that's the twist. But it's funny because I think that at the reason why I feel like that twist is coming is because I feel like the critique of like the working conditions on the set and how much stuff changed and all of this stuff and the way that the original director was like pushed out and the way that they didn't love the themes that she was going for, the twist ending makes me feel like it's more what I would expect from Sam Levinson than mm-hmm. what we are getting, which is him being like, protect these young women, while also the arguments labeled sort of against him in terms of the behind the scenes of the show is that he's not doing these things, right? That's like some of the critique of Euphoria too. So it's like, if that's his message, he's not actually like, it's interesting because he's not acting on it, but maybe it's a reaction to that, right? For him to be like, people don't understand how to actually like support these young women like I do. And so mm-hmm. tell this story. And I don't know.
I'm starting this conversation and I'm doing it honestly because I am able to, you know, put this magnifying glass on the industry and blah, blah, blah. I mean, at this point, nothing would really surprise me. I think one thing that did surprise me this episode, and you mentioned just now the name of the song, which now I'm blanking on something.
World Class Center.
Yes. The Diane character, I think has been fascinating. And this is another thing that kind of went away. Like, I think it was like episode two that Nikki was like, oh, let's talk about this. And then nothing really happened with that in episode three. And now it comes back in this way. I thought it was so fascinating that we found out much earlier that the trip to Tedros's club, right, initiated by Diane, was seemingly by Tedros's design, right? Like Diane was supposed to bring her and like it all went according to plan. But this slip up of Diane's seems genuine and seems like it's not part of anybody's plan.
Right.
And, you know, Jocelyn's reaction to it seems genuine. You know, she calls her ex and kind of who knows where that's going now.
The twist also doesn't make sense with the Tedros. Tedros knew you were coming.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But that part was actually like somewhat compelling to me of like, oh, this character Diane, who's finally getting what she's wanted, even if it's regardless if it's under the auspices of Tedros or not, would slip up in this way. And it felt like a very organic hanging thread that had been left that comes back into play in a way that we were not expecting. And and I actually just like Diane because she's a great dancer and people who are great dancers should be celebrated, right, in my opinion. But we'll see. Maybe she's the one that ends up dead next episode. I don't know.
Yeah. I think the last piece I just want to touch on really quickly is we talked about the Xander stuff, but man, there's more homophobia, I think twice in this episode from Tedros, which, you know, is that going anywhere other than just this guy is the worst? So he's homophobic too, because he tells Rob, he says all actors are he calls him the F word. And then when he has scared Xander after hearing him sing, he's like, what do you think I was going to like F you in the butt or whatever? It's like, God, so awful. But I did like that Troye Sivan is getting something in the show, even if I like kind of hate it. I feel bad. He was like,
he got to writhe around in.
Yeah, he got to emote
from the electric collar,
yeah,
and have his feet tied up. So, you know, that's something. And then act like a zombie later on, and then be fully like indoctrinated in a way that made absolutely no sense to me. But to your point, maybe there's a grander plan at play for him. Who knows?
I don't know. Yeah. I think that's it for the idol. So I think that's where the stars belong to the world. That's enough, I think. You know, someone asked us if we were hate watching. I said, I think we're firmly in hate watch territory at this moment. So yeah. Ariel, what else you got going on? Where can people find you?
I am on Twitter at that other Ariel, covering movies with you, Grace, Butcher Recaps Theater every week. We're we're going to the movies and we're seeing things. And luckily, Tedros has not made an appearance in any of those movies.
That's right.
Also covering Dark with you and Philly. And that is also coming to its end, which is very sad for me personally. I think for all of us, but yeah. We're having a lot of fun. And I think there's more stuff coming, but that's it for now.
All right. We're wrapping up our Succession coverage. We wrapped up the Battle Royale this week, and then we'll have the final episode ranking episode out this week. Rob is a podcast. I have The Pride Is Spoken, chatting with LGBTQ survivors all month long. We've chatted with Carla, Hi, and Missy Bird, so check those out. And yeah, I think that is it. We'll be back next week with the apparently season or series finale of The Idol. Until then. Bye-bye.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.